G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, March 17. I'm John Barker and joining me once again is Carl Diorio. Well, Carl, we focus shifts firmly to Sydney this weekend and the Rosehill Gardens Carnival kicks off with just the one Group 1 this week, and that is the Coolmore Classic. And as has been the case in recent years, it is a wide open affair.
Wide open affair, and the one question I've always wondered about the Coolmore Classic is how on earth do they fit 19 runners over the 1500? They can even fit 20, I think, is the field limit there. So it's always a race of hard luck stories. Plenty of them don't really get a crack in the straight, but a great race to play trifectas and first fours because it usually pays big.
All right, well, we'll take you right through the black type at Rosehill on Saturday. There are seven black type races. They're all group races, in fact, and the first of them is race two, the Harold's Sky High Stakes, over 2,000 metres at Group 3 level. A lot of these on their way to the Sydney Cup.
I'm with Orfray number 5, who's third up from a spell. Unplaced at both runs this campaign, but I saw enough in the way he finished off in the Parramatta Cup last time to suggest third up up to the 2,000 he can win. Ahead of number 2, Libran, who was fourth behind Winks in the Chipping Norton. Ahead of number 6, Stampede, who ran fifth. I've got them in for second and third. And then Selsamore, number 9, the 3-year-old taking on older opposition. Only gets 1.5 kilos off some well-performed older horses, but the stable did win with Tavigo last year.
Race 3 at Rosehill Gardens on Saturday, Canadian Club Magic Knight Stakes, 1,200 for 2-year-old fillies at Group 3 level. And unusually, we see the slipper favourite lining up just 1 week before, and I speak of number 1, Sunlight.
Well, the two leading contenders in the boys and girls division are going to step out, and Sunlight I've got here on top. I think you can't really fault her form. Her jump outs before her only defeat were fantastic, and her pedigree's outstanding. So I think she's the one to beat from 5 for 2, who, to my eye, is a filly that's only going to get better over further, and maybe even as a 3-year-old filly, look for her to get back and hit the line hard. Only Seabrook had a quicker final 600 last start in the Sweet Embrace. Third, number 8, Sweet Ava. And for fourth, I'm putting in number 6, Into the Abyss, who tough on pace effort last time in that Sweet Embrace, but has the job ahead from the wide barrier once again.
All right, race 4, Cafe Culture Plus In Situ Pago Stakes, 1,200 for 2-year-old Colton Geldings at Group 3 level. And the one you are speaking about is another Victorian, in fact, the leading male contender, and that's Written By.
It does concern me, though, that this race is a bit of an afterthought for Written By. It wasn't intended to run here. They wanted the trial and then go straight into the slipper. It does make you wonder if something wants to go the war with Written By, how much there is in the tank 7 days before the slipper. Got it on top, but wouldn't be touching the $1.40 at all. Ahead of 5, Spin, who ran nice last time behind Santos, sat last in the fence and railed through strongly. Third, I'm putting in number 4, Legislation, who trialled really well leading into this, and the form from the spring and summer isn't all that bad. And for fourth, number 13, Shabrit, who threw away victory, ran out to the outside rail last time. Josh Parr will certainly be mindful of that, given what happened to Hugh Bowman last Saturday.
The Open Age Sprint on the Rosehill program on Saturday is race 5, the Schweppes Morris McCartan Stakes, Group 3 over 1,100.
Neither on top, short enough, but has the quality. Didn't win last prep, but always thereabouts. This is her chance to win on the minimum with 50, just 1 kilo off the minimum, I should say, with 54. Ahead of number 6, New Universe, who didn't have all that much luck last time when dropping back to the 1,100 metres. Should get a soft trailing run from the inside barrier once again. Third, number 1, Dothraki, a bit of a non-winner. Has that reputation, but fourth hard in being beaten last time by Kaepernick. And then for fourth, I'm putting in number 3, Palazzo Publico, who does thrive over the 1,100 metres, and last two efforts at Caulfield probably not a fair reflection of her ability.
Race 6, the Chandon S Farlap Stakes for 3-year-olds at 1,500 metres, and here we see a horse that you're very keen on, Carl.
Yeah, number 7, Perrette. It didn't matter if it's the Farlap Stakes over 1,500 or the 1,500 metre freestyle, I'd still tip him. He's a horse that's got enormous promise. He pulled up lame first up at Randwick, and then last time held up 4 back on the fence and ran the best last 200 once clear. I think he's a great chance at 20 to 1, ahead of number 10, Unforgotten, the stablemate, who pulled up with cardiac arrhythmia first up in the surround at Group 1 level. At her best, she's certainly good enough to win this. Third, I'm putting in number 8, Shamushk, which it looks the likely leader in this race, depending if they go here or run the Coolmore Classic. And then for fourth, number 4, Calculated, who I'm got a bit of time for. I think you'll only get better up to 2,000 metres later this prep. I've gone 7, 10, 8 and 4.
The big one is race 7, Coolmore Classic for fillies and mares. 1,500 set weights and penalties, or is it a handicap?
It's a handicap.
For fillies and mares over 1,500, it's worth 600,000. Mm. There were 19 acceptors. Shamush drew barrier 18, and as Gail has related, he's running in the far lap. Instead, it's has been a wide open race. I think the average price for the winner over the last 8 or 10 years has been about $13.50. Only been one favourite and one equal favourite win in the last 12 or so years. Certainly makes it very tough to isolate the winner.
That's right, and as I said in the opening sort of gambit, I mean, you know, a lot of value here. Play your trifectas, play your first falls. I'm with Egg Tart, who at $8 is a great each-way bet. Her first up run was sensational. Held up and got home well the last 150 once clear. The rise to 1,500 is ideal. Up against her own age group is fantastic, and she's not punished the weights. 55.5K McAvoy aboard. I think she's a great chance, has a 50% winning strike rate and the two-time Group 1 winner. So I've got ahead of number 1, Dixie Blossoms, who defended her crown in the Guy Walter Stakes first up. Will have no issue at all stepping up to the 1,500. Was luckless in this race last year. Third, number 15, Bring Me Roses. As I wrote in this week's winning post, Dean Yendall's got a wonderful record on lightweight chances in Group 1 races, and Bring Me Roses is in fine form. And for fourth, number 2, Silence Edition. It was a runner-up in this race last year after being 3 wide the trip from a barrier 19. Should get a better run this time around with the blinkers on for the second consecutive start. Last year's winner, Heavens Above, is going just as well as last year. I couldn't find the room for her in my top four, but even Rainman's got a great chance. A really good race.
Race 8 at Rosehill on Saturday. Highland Race Colours, Ajax Stakes, 1,500 metre Group 2. One of three big races over the 1,500 in succession. And you're going for a despised horse.
Yeah, despised horse. Seem to gravitate towards a fair bit. He keep on backing him each way, and he doesn't owe me much. Tom Melbourne, first up from a spell. I think first up last campaign, we'll all remember he was horribly unlucky in the spring preview over 1,400. His two recent trials have been positive. He draws to get that lovely soft run that he desires off the pace. He can over-race, but hopefully he doesn't on the weekend, and this looks a nice option for him. Ahead of number 3 coming through, who resumed with an outstanding effort. Third, number 9, Ravi Polo, who's also entered for Melbourne, but it's my belief that they will be heading to Sydney with him, and he might be scratched from the blamey, reducing that field to 5. And then for fourth, number 1, Prized Icon, who, he's got race fitness on his side, and he's racing as well as he could at the moment.
Okay, and that cleans up the black type for Rose Hill on Saturday. Carl's Best, race 7, number 7, Egg Tart. And Value Bet, race 6, number 7, Perrette. Flemington is the venue for Melbourne Racing on Saturday, the Melbourne Festival of Racing's last gasp. I'm sure it'll be a very enjoyable day. Weather forecast is good, and there'll be plenty of space on the lawns. I may even wander down myself. There are 3 black type races to finish off the Melbourne Carnival, including, as you mentioned, the Blamey. And, I don't know what's going on, but some rethink has to happen to the programming with this race. Way for age, 1600 metre Group 2, attracting just 5, assuming that Radipole is not running there, just the 5 runners. But the first of these black type races is race 4, TBV Thoroughbred Breeders Stakes. 1,200 for 2-year-old fillies at Group 3 level.
Qualassa I've backed at both starts, and on both occasions has finished runner-up. Now, if you want to step in again, you're going to have to take a shorter price, but I think this is the right race for her to break through. She's got that straight track experience, which I think is ideal, and drawn barrier four. Damien Oliver aboard knows the filly well. He's got options, and she looks the one to beat. Heather Six Crystal Eyes, the stable mate. Then I've got Encrone, who won so well in Adelaide last start. And then three, Metronome, who moves away from Moonee Valley for the first time, and I'm just not sure how she'll handle the situation. But I've gone 2, 6, 1, and 3.
Race 5 is the aforementioned Blamey Stakes, 1600 metre Group 2 at Weight for Age.
Humidor on top for me from Tucson Stardom. Tucson Stardom was runner up in this race last year off a second placed finish in the Futurity. And I think Humidor's probably was the slightly, well, I wouldn't say better run, but it was just as good. And you think with added fitness and the rise to Flemington, 1600 probably suits him more. So I've got him ahead of Tucson Stardom, but not too much separating him. Third number four, Odeon, on the proviso Rathapole doesn't run there. And then next best, I'll put in Hell Over Straight, but I might have, cool chap, Hell Over Straight, not much between them.
I forgot this is Melbourne, and I should be giving my tips as well. I'm actually with you on both occasions. Race 4 went for number 2, Colasa, to beat 1, Crone, 3, Metronome, and 6, Crystal Eyes. And race 5, I'm with Humidor as well, to beat Tucson Stardom, but not much between them. I do love Hell of a Street, but I just think against those top class ones, you might just be feeling the pinch of the very last minute. So 2, 1, and 3, and take your pick of the other two for fourth.
Maskil back in Melbourne as well.
Indeed. Race 6. Sorry, we don't worry about race 6. We go straight to race 7. Mark Stakes, listed race, 1,400 metres.
No idea. I'm with number 7, Mask of Time. Thought the Toorak handicap run was quite good with a lightweight and the inside barrier. Pushed forward and was the best of the on-paces in finishing fourth. So you think fourth in a Toorak plate should somehow measure up here. And there's a $13 chance. So got it on top on an each-way basis from 14, Tribal Wisdom. But again, I think Tribal Wisdom, the stable mate, the Rathapole, might be heading to Sydney in that last race. For third, I'm putting in the answer, my friend, who was well fancied in the Toorak handicap, but after jumping away slowly, didn't show his best. He's since trialled up well. And fourth, number 2, Sovereign Nation, who just loves the 1,400-metre trip, particularly at Flemington. He was a bit poor, though, at Caulfield, it must be said, in the Futurity.
No Zomi for me. Number 4 at the Group 3 win over the track and trip first up. When I tipped No Zomi. You tipped him at good odds on that occasion. Not quite so good this time, but I don't see why not again. To beat 9 Cold Stone, 7 Mask of Time, and 3 Kawaya. Best and value bet. My best comes up in the first, and another one that won first up and could do so again. That's number 4, Hear the Chant, although up an extra 100 metres. And my value bet comes up in race 3, and that's number 9 at any old odds, to Cool the Spirit.
I'll give you a bit more confidence with Hear the Chant. Andrew Madigan deferred his suspension last Saturday to ride Hear the Chant. So that gives you, and he missed Mornington Cup Day as a result. So that gives you a bit of a lead there. Addison's my best bet, race 6, number 7 in the 2,000 metre race, the grand handicap there. I think the run in Adelaide was okay, drops back a little bit in grade. And the value bet, Essence of Terror, race 9, number 12. Perhaps not ideally suited down the straight, but I think her last start run was pretty good and should go close in the fairly even field.
Racing on the park tracks at Morfordville on Saturday, Carl. You must be keen on one because we're not waiting till late in the day. We're going at 2:01 p.m. Eastern, 1:31 local, with a horse that has never raced. Race 3, number 11, Music Bay.
That's right, Music Bay. It was a really impressive trial. It trialled up against Jamie Carr's horse, their Show Pride, and I get the feeling Show Pride might start shorter, but that had its measure completely on that occasion. Won the trial by a length and a half and was much more impressive. A wonderful big horse that looks like it's going to get over ground and has plenty of scope. I have the feeling this horse is half decent, so I'd be happy to take anything above $3, to be honest, and I think it's a good way to start off the day there, at least early enough in the day. And with hope, race 7, number 13 is the value bet. Draws a wide barrier with 3 kilo claiming apprentice aboard in the Moorfield Parks. Probably not the best recipe most of the time, but just has a lot of ability. Gets back, flies home, and does look to be good pacing gauge to allow it the opportunity to get into the race.
Gold Coast is the venue for Queensland Metropolitan Racing on Saturday, and there is a listed race. It's race 8, the Carbine Club of Queensland Gold Market. Listed event over 1,200, worth 100,000. And you think that the smart Snitzcraft, Carl, can return a winner?
Got great form lines, doesn't he? 9 starts for 4 wins, a few placings there, and was second of Adora in the Magic Millions sprint at his most recent start. That reads really well for this race, and I've got it on top. And the recent trial was excellent as well. 6 Malvern Estate. Recent form has been good around Doom and then the Sunshine Coast. For 3rd, number 3, Man of His Word, he'll get back and fly home. And then Upstart Pride might just settle off the speed and stay on for 4th.
Your Verdict Bet comes up earlier in the program. Race 5, the Moco Food Services Gold Coast Stakes, which despite the name is not a listed race, but is worth $100,000. And oddly enough, there's 1 Waller runner in it, $9.50.
You surprised me. I had it marked much, much shorter. And the run last time was pretty good, I thought. 7th and 9 at Doom, and there's a 7.50 chance, beaten 3.5 lengths, but sat last in an absolute walk. They ran 2:09 for 2,040 metres, had no chance whatsoever, and it finished off nicely. I think if there's any tempo in this race, it just beats them. And in that last race, Plucky Girl draws a wide barrier, isn't on pacer, race 9, number 7, but should get over fairly easily, and I think may be able to dictate around her home track. And she's around about $4 as well. But certainly confident that race 5, number 9, can give you a great sight of these whales.
All righty. Ascot, once again, the venue for Perth Racing. And we're starting to build up again towards another carnival over there. And BJ Ryan likes race 3, number 5, Agent Pippi. You might remember this one. Came over to Victoria with a few wraps on her and
got scratched, didn't it?
Got scratched at the barriers, I think. Is now back in WA. That was on, I think, Emirates Stakes Day.
Yeah.
Back in WA, has trialled run fast time and done so easily in a trial. And BJ expects her to resume by winning the listed Supremacy Stakes. That's race 3, number 5. The other stakes race over there is race 7, the Schweppes Ascot 1000 Guineas. Listed event over 1800 for 3-year-old fillies. And BJ likes number 3, Friar Fox, the well-drawn one. Going to be in the right position to take advantage of that that inside gate. The top two who are the class fillies have drawn 16 and 17 there. So again with number 3, Friar Fox. And BJ's value bet race 5, number 7. Middle Earth. Now, I didn't bring in the New Zealand fields, Carl. I forgot all about it, but it is New Zealand Oaks Day, and there is one you like in the Oaks, isn't
there? Yeah, Treasure. She's a nice 3-year-old filly that's had 5 starts, and she's only won once, but it came in the New Zealand Oaks Prelude, and she was $21 into 4 on that occasion, rounded them up, won easily with the blinkers first time. She had no luck last start. Look for her to get back in the field and fly home. Tony Pike describes her as one of the best staying fillies he's ever trained. He trains the Oaks winner Provocative in Queensland. He's trained More Than Sacred to win the New Zealand Oaks in 2013. So he certainly knows what he's talking about. Other races in New Zealand on the weekend, they've got the Lightning Handicap, features Heroic Valor, Ferrando, and a few capable sprinters there. And also the Wellington Guineas, Scott Bass, the one-time New Zealand Derby favourite, who was scratched due to a minor issue. He's a leading contender in that race. So plenty of good racing on as the Trentham Carnival kicks in on the weekend.
Okay, that wraps up a big Saturday around Australasia. Friday, there is the Kembla Grange Classic. Mm-hmm. And then Friday night, we go to the Valley for the Abel Stakes and the Alistair Clark. What are your thoughts on those?
Alistair Clark, I think, a story is a genuine stay who can run a good race. Certainly respect Cliff's Edge, but then there's a couple of massive odds that I'm willing to semi-entertain. I think if you go back and watch the replay, number 8, Think Positive, it was... I don't want to say slaughtered because it implies fault on behalf of the jockey, but it was just horribly unlucky. And should have finished much, much closer than the 6-length losing margin. And I think if you're betting in that race, maybe have something, a story of the win, and throw the place, Think Positive. In terms of the Able, haven't had a really good look at that race yet. Barks, have you got an opinion in that sprint race?
I have not either, but Andrew Hannon is tipping at number 6, Glenall. So coming out of the Oakley Plate.
Yeah, Dwayne Dunn said it needs further after the Oakley Plate, so it does get it here up to the 1,200. Metres.
Yeah, does improve first up to second up. So Glenall is his selection from at 6, from 1, Bassett, 7, Oak Door, and 8, Whispering Brook.
Yeah, first run for Weird Whispering Brook as well. Curious to see how she measures up back to Mooney Valley, where she had some racing experience as a 3-year-old filly.
Sunday, the main event is at Bet365 Yarra Valley. That's the main event in Victoria. There is some good racing at Scone as well in your winning post, where we're also covering the Oakbank meeting at Von Dusa Steeplechase. And Benalla, we've got full form for all those fields for everywhere else. Talk us through Cry If I Want To is the favourite for the Jack Hirsch Memorial Yarra Valley Cup, race 7 at Bet365 Yarra Valley. And you're with that one, Carl.
Now, that mare, she got back in a slowly run 6-horse field at Flemington. That was won by the Lord Williams horse Aloft. And she got back and was effectively no winning chance over that 2,600-metre Roy Higgins quality. She comes back in distance. And I just think has a little bit of a class edge. Ahead of Oncidium Ruler, who's second up and should improve fitness-wise. Barisha has to contend with the top weight of 58 and should be near peak fitness now, but won't be easy for him with the big weight. And then for fourth, I'm pretty sure I put in We're So Lucky, who's been racing around okay in the border region. And in terms of the best that day, I think, Cry If You Want To is my best. And Spalding Cove, the value bet in the last race, just been knocking on the door in similar grade. Gets a soft on-pace run, I reckon, from barrier 3. Just doesn't have a turn the foot, will whack away, can run a race at each way odds.
Okay, that wraps up another big weekend of racing around Australia. We're heading to Golden Slipper Day next weekend. Some say the best on the calendar, 5 Group 1 races, something to look forward to. But plenty of good racing this weekend. And it leaves us only to remind you to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. All the form for Friday night, Saturday and Sunday, and your favourite columnists and reporters as well. Plenty of good reading and entertainment through the paper. Still only $5. Best $20 bet for the weekend. I am going to kick us off early, 12:35 Eastern on Saturday. Race 1 at Flemington, going with number 4, Hear the Chant.
And I'll go the 2-year-old in Adelaide. That just lost my name. What is it called? It's
War Baby?
Music Bay. Music Bay. Race 3, number 11 in Adelaide on Saturday.
Okay. Have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners. And we'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.